There's some fresh coffee there.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Hello, glad you're here. Welcome back to those of you out there listening in. We're back. And if you didn't get enough of that, tune in at 2 o'clock this afternoon, okay, and you'll get some more. Now, this gal is pretty quiet most of the time, but boy, doesn't she get excited when she's up here. That's the person I like seeing. Guns a-blazing. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Now, I'll tell you, as she was sharing, I saw a picture of this, but I love it when I hear a strange word.
Yes.
You know? I just love it when I hear something that's strange to me. I don't mean strange by weird. I mean it's something I've never heard before. Right? And when the Father is living his life out in you, as she said, he's talking all the time. And I think some I've heard some people say, well, I don't hear that, but you will if you get still enough. You'll hear your own Father teaching you, because all of you are teachers. Every one of you are teachers. And she was talking about humility, and when I say that, I mean I want to be real to you. I want to tell you what happens to me, right? But if you're humble, you can't say you're humble, because it means you're not humble.
Right.
You know, you can't, and that was good. That's what she said. You really can't tell somebody you're humble, you know, but humble is just being honest. Mm-hmm. It's just being honest and transparent, right? You're not playing a role, right? You're living a role, and that's what's so beautiful about it. And I'm going to have to listen to that thing. Oh, there were three areas that just really floored me. Just really floored me, that were a new strange word to me, and I just love to be taught. I love to hear the Father teach us more about who we are. And there's some things she shared that I really need, because I've had questions for myself about some of these things, you know. How does it work out? And that's what we need to know. How is it working out in our lives, right? Where are we at? And when we're not satisfied, right, and we act out of that, which she was telling us, when we're not satisfied and we act out of that in a reactionary way, right, we're not yielding, right? Did I get that right, Kay? That's it. Now, I'd never heard it that way before, right, because like she said, nobody likes the word yield, and you don't want to tell any American woman she needs to submit, because American women don't do that, okay? Now, I didn't mean that as judgment. I'm just saying, you know, I remembered a previous life. Now, I'm not talking about reincarnation. I just mean quite a few years ago, I was with a gal, and she hated the hymn, Trust and Obey. Oh, she despised that hymn. And so I think that's what Kay was talking about with us, you know, and really, you're not submitting, in a sense, because it's already who you are, right? And so that's what I want to get to understand more, because she was saying this isn't a work, you know, because every time we hear something, we want to make it into a work, and that's when we get tripped up, you know. But she explained it real clearly. I just got to go back and listen to that, because how is it not a work, right? Right? Well, sometimes it's just a work just to shut up, you know. But she described what happened to me when I was standing out on the deck there, when I was over there cursing my neighbor's boat lift, in my mind now, it hadn't got out, but in my mind, well, what did I do? I yielded long enough for that voice to speak to me, right? That's what I did. And it said to me, that's your boat lift. See, so it's just waiting upon the Lord, waiting upon that still small voice, which is your own voice. It's not a strange voice, you know. I love what Joan of Arc said. She says, because somebody asked her, well, what language, they're getting ready to crucify her, right? Burn her at the stake. Well, what language is it that God speaks? She says, I don't know what language he speaks, but when I hear him in French, which was her own tongue. Yeah. And so God speaks to us in our own tongue. And he speaks quietly, you know, because a lot of times it isn't this one, right? It's not this thing that's wagging, right? Because in the garden, the serpent's tongue was man's tongue. There wasn't something hanging in the tree, right? It was his own tongue. saying no and saying, I want to be like God, and he already was. But he didn't understand, did he? And so, just beautiful, okay? That was just out of this world, and it needs to be. Because that's what it's got to do to us, is take us out of this world of judgment, right? And of fear. And of fear. Because if you, when you understand these things, you're going to end up experiencing a life of faith instead of fear. Right? So that thing that comes to you is for you. Everything that comes to you is for you. It's your teacher. And I remember when I was in Australia sharing, I was sharing a story. I was just trying to share what I was going through at the time. And I worked through with my brothers, and I got this younger brother that's teaching me a hell of a lot of stuff. I'm just telling you right now, okay? Because he's wild. And I was sharing with what was going on a little bit, and this the German woman who owns the Cuckoo restaurant, anybody familiar with the Cuckoo restaurant in Australia? Anyway, she said, Michael, your brother's your teacher. Your brother's your teacher. And as soon as she said that, I just melted. Yep. It just melted within me, and I began to listen then instead of resist it. Yeah. You know, I wasn't standing against then my brother and seeing him as being certainly a thorn in my flesh, right? Right? And he's still a wild man, but I love him to death, and he knows it. You know, he knows I love him. And anyway, wow, that's going to be a hard act to follow, isn't it? And so, what was she explaining to us? That the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Both sides. And we've been sharing this, I shared it to you when we were in Portland, that the Father said to me, Mike, and I was listening to Kay's teaching when she taught with us at the lake, because we've all think that something's got to change out in the world. You know, that's, nothing needs to change in the world, guys. Nothing. Your world is the only thing that needs to be transformed. Your view of the world. And I was sitting there in the cornfield, and the Father said to me, Mike, nothing is out of order in heaven or upon the earth. And she was telling that to me. But we always are seeing things out of order, aren't we? In the earth, aren't we? We're watching the news, and it pulls us in, right? It pulls you in, so you want to react then. You want to react instead of submit, right? And I sort of called it responding versus reacting. Because when you're anxious, you react. When you respond, you're patient. And you're waiting for an answer. And so I get all these people ask me questions, you know, on the web. And I've got this one guy, and I keep wanting to tell him, you know, well, why don't you go in and listen to this message or that message? And he's relentless. He keeps asking questions. And I thought, well, because I'm real busy, you know, especially during the day and stuff. And I found, you know, I've got all the time in the world when a question comes to me. And it took away that resistance to it, you know. I've got all the time in the world to take time to answer every question, you know. But why I say that is I want to wait, right? I don't want to respond out of the intellect. I don't want to respond out of judgment. But I do find that when questions come to me, an answer will come every time if I'll wait. You know, and submit, as she's talking about, is yielding. And it's amazing, you know, that wisdom is within us. If we can just wait long enough, you know, for it. It's already in you. It is who you are. And so, wow, that was good. Is it true that the whole earth is full of the glory of God? Because it is. Every aspect, every turn, the title of this lesson is Ordained in Love. And when I realized, and the other thing the Father shared with me next to this cornfield, I love wandering around and being by myself and just listening, because it's when I can hear. I'm not running my mouth off, you know, and telling somebody what to do, which I have to do that a lot in business. And my biggest struggle in life is, how do I carry this message into a business that's like supposed to be competitive, and we're going after the sales, and we're trying to convert people into sales and stuff. I mean, one of the hardest things for me to learn was when I was listening to Joel, and I shared in August, it says, there's no competition in God. Yeah. Well, if you're a salesman, I'm telling you what, that's a hard lesson to learn. Because what are you doing? You're out there fighting and scratching and trying to talk to somebody into something, you know? Right? It's sort of manipulation, isn't it? Remember the old Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman? I'm one of those. I used to train people in it. Now, not in Kirby's, but I used to go out and sell solar systems to people. And 80% of the time, I came back with the sale, whether they needed it or not, okay? Because I convinced them, right? And it was a good deal. I'm not saying it was a bad deal at all. It was a very good deal. At the time, you could take 70% of the cost of your solar system right off your tax bill. 100% was a huge benefit. So if you owed $10,000 in taxes that you were paying during the year, you could take $7,000 and buy a solar system, or you could just let it disappear into the government. Now, the government needs money. You know, it's okay. That's another one I'm learning. You know, they got to have money. So I would walk into someone's home and say, if I walk out of here, you're going to put $7,000 down the toilet. And I convinced them, you know. So all you got to do is give me $3,000 and loosen up a little bit here, you know. But it's wonderful to hear that there's no competition. And when we're yielding, right? Boy, I guess I'm going to keep preaching your message, Kay. When we're yielding, that's what we're doing. We're realizing there's no competition in God. Boy, she's opening up the floodgates for me, I'm telling you. Realizing, and this is what Joel said, when we go into a situation, then when we're honest, we leave the buyer to be willing to say no if he needs to say no. Right? If he needs to say no, it's okay. Right? So, because God will bring to us what we need in every moment, because it's already all in us. We are our own supply. And what happens, we get so tangled up in the earthly things, yep, right, that we don't realize that all we need's in us, and it's already our supply. It's already waiting for us. Yeah. And this path that we see as crooked is already straight. It's already straight when you withdraw and learn to respond to what comes in front of you instead of react to it. It's like, you know, you're all complete, everything's in you, and we're in there like a punching bag trying to get outside of our own body, right? Trying to get ahead of ourselves. Well, you can't get ahead of yourselves. You can only be where you're at.
Right.
But what in our minds, we rush ahead into the future all the time in fear that something's going to happen, you know, and it isn't even here yet. Yeah. And a lot of times the stuff we fear never happens anyway. So what are we finding in our world? What do we find? Are we finding fear instead of faith? Are we playing the role of God? Because that's what you're doing when you're not submitting. You become God then, and you try to control, right? You're playing the role of God. Or are we finding this overflowing love that's within us? And again, that's a yielding. That's a beautiful feeling. It was a beautiful feeling when I sat there, and these words that were going in between my earlobes, you know, bouncing around in there, were fragging around. He's got his boat lift right on my view and sitting on my property and all that stuff. And then the Father said, well, that's your boat lift. It was gone. Isn't that something? Just a few words and it was gone. So where was all the trouble? Right here.
Yeah.
This is the only place you have trouble. This is your only enemy. Is this person that you think you are. What? Separate from the Father. That's the enemy, right? So the person you think you are is your enemy. The person you really are doesn't have any. My neighbor's not my enemy. He's myself. And I've told people before, a few months ago, I said, go find the person you like the least and practice. You know? Practice on that one. That's the one we need to practice on, because all the rest will just fall like dominoes, right? Or the person that you're having the most difficulty with, whatever it is, because we're trying to control, aren't we? We want to control, and that's not yielding. That's not submitting. I hope I can leave something for you this afternoon. So our understanding of this fullness that we're supposed to experience, is tainted by our judgment of the appearances. So it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you have to realize there's no God out there to please. Without faith, it's impossible to please yourself to the Father within you. Without faith. What? The evidence of things not seen, where everything's in order. Nothing's out of order. So when the Father said this to me, I had shared the verse about the new heaven and the new earth in that same weekend, and then Kay was saying, you know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And they merged together for me. And he said to me, nothing's out of order in heaven or upon the earth. My world. Yes. Is something out of order in your world? Not the world outside. Not that world. Right? We've got to quit judging that world. Because that world will be saved when we stop judging it. That's all the world needs to be saved from, is our judgment of it, our condemnation of it, what we see, what we hear. We're continually wanting to make adjustments to our channel. And it's your channel. It's your picture of the life. It's your screen. And there's an illusionary picture up there most of the time, saying something's wrong, something's out of order. I need to fix this, I need to fix that, right? And nothing needs to be fixed except our version of what we're seeing. And Joel painted a beautiful picture, and he said, really, life from a fleshly realm is like being in a dream. And you go out into the ocean, and you start to wade out, and everything's fine, you're wading out, and you go deeper and deeper, and a rip current comes in and grabs you, and it starts taking you farther and farther away from shore. And you realize you're not going to make it until you wake up from the dream. Because it's all a dream. This picture we have of our world, our universe, that we see out of order, it's just a dream. It's just it happening in our mind. Right, and that needs to be yielded. That's a big thing to yield, to look out into this world and think that God is not seeing it in righteousness and loving kindness. Because he says he sees the whole world in righteousness. He said he loved the world, that he gave himself as his only son. Right, and so Jesus said, my Father judges no man. Full stop. He judges no man. And to me, I used to call it the prime directive. I have a message on that. And it says, judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. And I didn't really understand what righteous judgment was until I went into Psalms. And it said, the Lord is judging the world in righteousness. But that didn't get it. Then he said, and the people with equity. And I knew it meant all of them. And that's when it overwhelmed me, that I could now see the fullness of the Lord covering the earth, the glory of the Lord covering the whole earth. And so we see our neighbor as ourselves, no longer judging him, but we see our neighbor as ourselves. So what's true for us outside of passing time has to be true for our neighbor. Yeah. It has to be, because the Father isn't in a time-space continuum. It's all complete. He sees it all done already. Do we see it done? Do we see it complete? Because that's what's going to draw that completeness to us. And that's what Kay is talking about, that in some strange tongue, but I got to listen to that again because she said it. But she said it in a way that was just beautiful, that's making that more complete for me. But I saw that, what I've been sharing there, in a higher way, in a different way, that really... where we're seeing things differently. It's not through a glass darkly anymore. Because when we're looking out of this world and we're seeing something's wrong, we're seeing through a glass darkly.
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, what's your world? Just start with your neighbor. I've got a brother and a couple neighbors that are teaching me. I got to quit seeing through the glass darkly. Because they're my biggest challenge. It doesn't matter what's going on in Afghanistan. How can we travel 7,000 miles in our mind and bring all that into us? Do we not trust that the Father is working himself out in every man? I've seen it for myself. When I saw that the steps of the righteous are ordained to the Lord, I realized I wasn't righteous until I saw it in everyone. God's not prejudiced. He's not a respecter of persons. What's true for you has to be true for every man. Now, it's obvious they're not experiencing it, but I can't go in there and rape their experience and what? I'm not submitting them, am I? I'm not yielding, right? I'm not yielding to the love that's within them. And it just makes me want to get up and just start singing, realizing that the glory of the Lord is covering the earth, that he sees everyone in righteousness and loving kindness and the people in uprightness. Now, how can I think it's just me he's talking about? Because that's the way we think, right? Well, that's me. Of course that's me. Well, that's just the ego. That's just my ego talking, right? Well, that verse just only for me, you know? Well, if it's who's the one that decides who's righteous? If it's just for me, well, I'll expand the group a little bit. I'll include you guys. Huh? Who's the one that decides that, huh? That's a bunch of baloney. It's all or none. It's all or none, guys. Now, isn't that wonderful? It's all or none. Can you see them the way you see yourself, no matter what they're doing? And that love is what will draw them to you. The Christ in you is drawing all men unto himself, not counting their sins against them. Not counting their sins against them. That's you. Yeah. And it's time to bring what happened 2,000 years ago into today. You're the Savior. You're the Savior. He says you were in Christ. You're the Savior. When you see all men righteous and holy and blameless, you become the Savior. Not to do something to them, just to see who they are. And that person up there that's driving in front of me that I don't think's driving the right way, that's me. That's my love up there in that car. And when I see that, I yield. This is a great example, Kay, isn't it? I'm going to practice yielding on the road. In Australia, they call it giving way. Isn't that beautiful? Giving way to myself. Giving way to myself on the road, every place of life. You're drawing all men into yourself then when you see them that way. It's an active process, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful? You're drawing all men unto yourself. No matter what they're doing, that's right, it's natural. Boy, that's a relief. Wow. I'll tell you what, a lot of stuff just passed through me when she said that. It's natural. I thought, hallelujah. Let out the gas that you're holding in, you know. It's painful. It is. It's painful to hold all that in, isn't it? We don't even know. We didn't even know how painful it is. But it is. Let it out. It's okay. All is well. All is well in your soul. And when you see that you're the soul of every man, that you're the life of every man, that you're the love of every man, you'll no longer judge them by the appearances. You'll see them as yourself. I'm telling you, we're going to get a picture of this someday. We might as well get a picture of it now because it's already true in the invisible realm, isn't it? The realm of faith. It's already true. And I think when Elijah were goofing around and they took off and saw this thing, he just saw everything complete. I can't remember the story now, but I know he saw a different dimension. He saw another world that we're not seeing. And that what we're seeing in real life now and hearing spoken in word is reality. That nothing needs to change in the heavens or on the earth. Now you're the heavens now. This isn't some cloud somewhere. So once your earth gets reconciled, your heaven will begin to enjoy it. So our earth is what's got to be submitted, right? Our judgment of the earth, it's got to be laid down. We got to lay it down, realize it's all in order. That's what's going to draw those men unto you. They're going to feel it. You don't even have to say anything. They'll feel it. So, I want to talk about a God. He's not real, but I want to talk about him. You will never please your personal God that you're praying to, that you're bringing requests to, that you're trying to manipulate, you're trying to get him to do something for you, okay? You're never pleased that God. He's not real. And you know what who he is? It's really yourself trying to play the role of God. That's what Adam did. I will be like the Most High. And what did he do? He started controlling the earth. He wanted to take control of the earth, right? This personal God is always a God of reward and punishment. Always. And we see that throughout the Old Testament, this God of reward and punishment. When we look that way, we haven't really come into oneness with this true God of love, and that all he is that omnipresent love. How can love be omnipresent when you take it with you everywhere? Amen. It's there to greet you because you're taking it with you, right? Yes. Omnipresent love is present because you're taking it with you. Amen. It's within you. And when you take that sense of love everywhere, it just swallows up your pictures of life and their picture they're projecting on their screen. It's all an illusion. We need to get a hold of some of Joel's teaching because he shares this so beautifully. He said, we're just painting a picture on the canvas of our life and none of it's real. Through our minds, we just paint this picture that we fear and that we try to protect and that we're worried about. And none of it's real, none of it's reality, not in line with what we're sharing with you. So none of it's real. So you take this omnipresent love with you everywhere you go. But we still are struggling with who we are. We're still struggling with the fact that the whole earth is full of the glory of love because we still have some sense of desire to control it. And when you're judging the world, you're trying to control your world. When you write a list of things, we talked about when we were important, we got a list of things we don't like, right? We got to crunch that thing up. And the God that we think we know will go with it, which is our, again, our perception of what things. As soon as you think you got to change, there's a God involved in it. And a lot of times we play that role. And that's all got to go away. So when we come to this absolute understanding of faith, what is that? That nothing is out of order within heaven and upon the earth. Nothing's out of order. No one's lost. Everyone's in. That God looks and sees everyone as himself because that's all he can see is himself. That's all there is himself. There's nothing but love. There's only love. And I was reading on my wife and I are in Young Living oils, and I think Sally's in it too, aren't you? There was this beautiful, Joanne's in it? Yeah, it's beautiful stuff, isn't it? There was this beautiful Asian family. And you know the Eastern religions are much more in tune with a lot of this than we are, by the way. I'll let you know. They know a lot of this stuff. It wouldn't surprise me that they know it all. And they said, you know, all we know is that we see love in every person and in every event. They kept saying it. It's on their Young Living header in their Facebook. It's up on their the big picture on top, whatever that is, profile. That's what they got written up there. It's beautiful. We see love in every person and in every event. Even though it can look messy and in turmoil, what could happen if you bring love into that situation? Huh? Bring peace into that situation. I witnessed an accident out here. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting there just relaxing. I took a lunch break, and a lovely young gal, pulled out right in front of a guy. Bam! I saw it instantly happen, and The cars moved off the road. Nobody got hurt severely. The young gal just freaked out. And the guy's airbag went off. He T-boned her and totaled his car. I was watching him from across the road, and he rolled out and fell to the ground. Just fell. And so I rushed over there, and he was in shock. I didn't see any blood flow, and he had burn marks on him, I think from the airbag. And he was in shock. He said, "What just happened, you know?" And I had some lavender. And I pulled lavender out and allowed him to smell it, and he instantly became conscious.
Wow.
What did it do? It changed his thinking.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. The scent, the aroma of love, mm-hmm. changes our thinking. Mm. That scent of love. That's what that did. It was amazing to watch this. Just to sit there and watch this happen in front of me, you know. And he became conscious and set up. There wasn't anything broken. Everything was fine. And the girl, she was like 17, you know. She was just devastated because she lost her car and just cried uncontrollably. And I wanted to go over to her and break that cycle as well, but there were other women around her and stuff, and I didn't. But I know it had done the same thing. I know it had brought her out of that. Why? The Eastern people teach this all the time. When you get your mind off something with something else, like if your knee hurts really bad, smash the hell out of your toe.
That's right.
And your knee will quit hurting.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Now, the toe might hurt worse than the knee did, but it's the principle I'm sharing, right? It's just a principle. Yeah? Yeah, there's energy there. We get stuck in these patterns of hell and destruction. We do. We got to admit it now.
Yes.
You got to admit it or you'll never get out of it.
Right.
Be honest with yourself now. What do? We yield and then learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's all for you.
Yeah.
It's not against you. That's the yield. That was so, Kay, son of a buck, I'm telling you. That was so good. She's telling me what I've been doing. I didn't understand it so clearly, right? And so now consciously, I can get in front of that a little better now that I've heard what she said, right? Do you know what I'm saying? That's why I love. I'd love to not suffer in hell as long. You know? And it's one thing not to fear, it's another thing to be tormented by it, right? Because I really have a life that's really not afraid anymore. And that's a huge victory for me, going into my office every day. You just wouldn't know how much of a victory that is to go in there and not be afraid of what's going to happen to me. And the sun's not rising and the moon isn't setting on my days anymore. Every day's the same to me now. I'm not looking forward to something tomorrow. I'm not looking forward to the weekend. You know? I don't need relief from something. Yeah? Because that's all judgment. That's really all judgment. I don't need to be relieved. Nothing changes. Every day's the same. And the sun doesn't set and the moon doesn't rise for me anymore. It's all one day for us, which is that day of redemption for us.
Rest.
Yeah, it's really rest. Yeah, it's beautiful. So, I love, too, another thing that Kay has said. You know, we don't despise small beginnings, right? But we have to realize we've had them, right? We don't need to despise them. But John talks in his epistles about little children and young men and fathers. And I'm telling you, if you're sitting in this room now, we are entering fatherhood union. And we're just beginning to, if we're honest, we're just beginning to enter into fatherhood union. Because when you enter in fatherhood union, all the smoke's out of the glass that's dark. We see it gone. We aren't looking at the world in judgment anymore. We're not seeing that something needs to be changed anymore in our world. We're not trying to control people, and we're not in fear. That's when the glass is, the vacuum of that darkness is sucking all that out, right? We're seeing clearly now. And how do we see clearly? Nothing's out of order. Nothing is out of order. You can walk now with the power of love, never to control, right? But to always submit then, as Kay is telling us, to what we see in front of us and wait and listen and respond instead of react to that thing that's in front of us so we can be taught. So this experience, I mean, I need to invite all my neighbors to bring their boat lifts over and set them on my property, I guess. It helped me learn quicker. Load them up. Ground pass flyers out. Park all your boat lifts down at the corner for free. Yeah? So little children need a God outside of them. They really do. Jesus talked about them, "O ye of little faith, how long have I been with you and you've not known me? You've not known yourself. How long have I been with you and you've not known me?" And young men start to enter into really wonderful revelation, but you know what they want to do? Argue about it all the time.
Yeah.
Just want to argue. Just want to compete. See, I know more than this guy and that guy, and I'm not going to share an experience with you because I don't want to talk about people, but I see this in ministry work a lot of times, that there's competition, you know, where you own something, right? And the Father told me a long time ago, back when I was doing counseling, which was years ago, I closed it down and he said, "There's no such thing as your ministry."
That's it.
You know? And that's why I was so resistant to start sharing again when Tony asked me. I didn't want to do it again. I'd love just, I mean, I can retire, I think. I can just listen to Kay. What do you think, Kay? Huh? Oh, okay. Kay's not going to, you're not going to let me retire? Okay. I'll tell you what. I've heard all I need this morning. I'm telling you, I'm full. That's why it's hard to follow. I'm full. I'm telling you what, I want to run out and grab that CD and buy it from somebody and just sit and listen to it for a month until I beat it all out of it, because there were three things in there I've got marked. There were three things in there that just totally amazed me, that was transforming me as I was hearing it. Okay? Right when I was hearing it just now, it was changing my perception. Right, and some thorns. I got a couple thorns. She just told me how to deal with it. Yeah. The wife's sitting on her hands and not saying nothing right now, but listen, whatever thorn it is, it's for you. You can't judge your thorn either. Right? Yeah. It's for me. And I have to trust that too. Because what I do when I'm stuck in that is I judge myself. And a God appears, myself, I stand up as God, say, "Well, you got it." And that's the turmoil that goes on in our minds, as I just begin to judge myself. Beautiful. Wow. Little children have little faith. They're still looking back for a Savior. But we have to realize, folks, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. And you need to reconcile the world to yourself right now, not counting men's sins against them. That's you. There's no time there. We've got to leave our history and realize this is who you are today. The steps he walked, the things he did. We have to lay our lives down and crucify it. Now, it's an experience. It's not, we got to go find crosses and everybody's got to go up and nail themselves to it. But it's got to, and it's like Kay said, it's, we've got to experience this. We have to experience what he experienced for us to be delivered. We have to, we can't just read it. It's got to be more than a story, right? It has to be more than a story. And we resist that and we're not yielding to that. And I think that this is, been a shortcut for me because I've had a lot of things I went through and all. I just remember riding out on my bike one day and I said, "Father, whatever it is that has to happen to me," I mean, I'd lost it all. I had my bike, had a few trinkets here and there. And I said, "Father, I don't care what it takes. I just want to know you. Doesn't matter what happens to me. I don't care. Do it." And he started, believe me. That was 25 years ago that happened. And now, today, I can see that being answered. I can see that being answered. I went through ministry after ministry, parachurch ministries, you know. But I learned something in all of them. I learned beautiful truth in all of them. I learned with people to people, you know, that there's no more forgiveness. You're already forgiven. Well, that's, you can't say that in too many churches. You're completely forgiven. And then I realized that God isn't sitting up there forgiving me because he's still outside me then. He's not sitting up there where, well, I guess I'll put up with you. Guess I'll forgive you for all your transgressions. And I mean, I had a long list of them, you know. I couldn't forgive myself for them. But it's small beginnings, isn't it? It was a big step for me. And then Malcolm Smith, I listened to for years. Still like a lot of his teaching. He said, God's not angry at you. And his ministry was called Unconditional Love. Again, we don't hear unconditional love taught. If it is, it's taught with conditions. So, what is it to be in fatherhood union? It's to realize you are the Father. And the Father isn't controlling anything. He's seeing the whole world in righteousness and loving kindness. That's not control. That's seeing it perfect. And he's working himself out in every man. He's already doing it. And so we rest in that, don't we? We yield to that. We see our neighbor as ourselves, just as righteous as we are. Because if we can't, then we're not seeing righteousness. We can't experience our own righteousness. We have to see it in our neighbor. For us to really live in it today, we have to see it in everyone. And now I can drive out on the road, and I can be not in a hurry, and I can slow down. I can yield to myself at every intersection. I can give way to all my neighbors. And boy, it's really enjoyable. I find out I don't need 700 horsepower no more. I've got to buy a little Volkswagen with 100 horsepower, you know. I push on it, but all it does is make noise, you know. They got a car downstairs. It's a Lingenfelter. You guys probably know Lingenfelter from Fort Wayne, don't you? Yeah, they build race cars. And the child in me came forth. Had to go down there and do it. But anyways. I'm doing a lot better. So we don't despise small beginnings because we understand that there's a progression of spiritual maturity happening in every man. Every man is the Father. Every man has the Father in him. The seed's in him, and it might look like it's dormant right now, right? It might seem dormant to us, but we can't judge the seed of Christ that's in every man. Don't judge their seed. We're there for them. We're there for their reward. We're there to love them and have an answer for that hope that's within us, for that love that's within us. So now that we're entering fatherhood union, we realize that nothing is out of order. We begin to see all the fullness of God on the earth in every place. We begin to see love in everyone and every event, and even in some of the most terrible things that's happened that we've witnessed. People will say years later, I can see the Father working in it now. But for 10 years, they were tormented, weren't they? How can we bring that into today? By yielding to reality that nothing needs to be changed. Everything's in order. So when Jesus was with his disciples, they had a measure of faith. But he said to them many times, O ye of little faith. And he wept about it once. He wept about it when Lazarus had died. Why didn't he rush back when Lazarus died? Because Mary said to him, Lord, if you were here, you could have healed him. He didn't hurry back. It was it 3 days? I can't ask my... Can you hear me, Kay? Is it 3 days? 4 days. It was 4 days. And he wasn't in a hurry. I'm sure it pissed him off. Because she came up, Lord, why weren't you here, right? And it said he wept. Exactly. It wasn't anything to do about Lazarus. He wept because how long have I been with you and you can't hear me? You can't hear me. You can't hear me. Is the whole earth full of the glory of God? It's your salvation, folks.
Yes.
It's your salvation.
Yes.
Is the whole earth full of the glory of God?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Is it? Is all the fullness of God upon the earth? Is it? That's your question. Are you satisfied with that? Does that satisfy you?
Wow.
It needs to satisfy you. It needs to be enough for you to then walk out in this earth without fear and yielding to all of our neighbors. The people, the martyrs, knew this. They knew it. They knew nothing could touch them. It doesn't matter whether we disappear from this earth or not. We don't believe in death. I don't believe in death. I have no concern, I have no fear about any kind of physical thing happening to me, whether it be sickness or health or death or whatever. I don't believe in any of that anymore. I just believe in life and it's dwelling in me and I'm not going anywhere. That's what I believe, okay? It doesn't matter to me if my eternity speeds up and I fizz out of here. I have no concern over that whatsoever. That's not having the fear and the bondage of death. But we've lived our whole lifetime in the fear of death. That's why we're consumed with health. Right? And Kay said there's no natural law perpetuating sin, sickness, and death. And guess what? There's no natural law perpetuating health either. It's all a bunch of baloney. Okay? My screen, my satellite dish does not have the health channel on it anymore. I just don't think about it. It has nothing to do. I'm not reckless. I'm not going to go downstairs and grab the rat poison. You know, let's quit being foolish about it. Where are we at now? Okay? Because people think, well, you're teaching irresponsibility. Well, I've been irresponsible long enough, okay? You know what I mean? When are you going to enter into your rest? When are you going to not have fear in your life for things? And our kids need to be taught this, right? I loved what Dean said. He said, I sat with my grandchild and she knows nothing about King James and she has no concept of a God. Well, hallelujah.
Yeah.
She just needs to know herself.
Yeah.
That's all she needs to know. She just needs to know she's love and that God's already in her, as her. That's all. She doesn't need to break out 1611 King James and memorize it. Now, I'm thankful for the scriptures. I love the scripture. But until you know who you are, you can't read it right. So it's just a book. And you can read any book and get. I love Walter Lanyon. It's just as much truth as in scripture. But now that we know who we are, it's just like Kay was sharing, you know, about the revelation she got. Man, that was unbelievable. I got to listen to that again on that one verse. Man, what she said, I can't remember it right now, but that was really good. And so I believe it's in there. I believe what Alan was saying about seeing the word God in the Old Testament has the human letter in it everywhere. It was Adam playing a role of God. That's something. Now, I'm just giving you a real broad picture, so don't go crazy on me yet, right? But it just spoke to me when I sat in front of him. I just got goosebumps, and I said, wow. I think it'll open up some of the true meanings about in the Old Testament, a God of reward and punishment. And guess what? The people in the New Testament were still under that. Hello? And I'm going to tell you why they were. Because Jesus was with them, and he said, oh, ye of little faith. It meant they had the faith of a little child where they needed to have a relationship with someone outside of themselves. And that's okay. But guess what? They're not at rest. Right? They're still asking for stuff. Right? So then you move into young men, where we begin to see some of the deeper truths, we start to realize that the Father is within us, but still arguing, still looking at passages and thinking they know everything. But it's still at a mental level, right? Ever knowing the truth, but not coming to the reality of who we are. Because we're the book. We are the book. And so when we realize we're the book, then we can open it and read it aright. Understand it's talking about us. We're every man in there. We're every man. We've been Lot's wife, turning back and looking, right? We've done it. I know I've done it. Hell, I can tell you now. You know, I don't want to bore you with my stories, but I look back, right? And it crystallized me. That's what it means. It crystallized me. It froze me. I lost my reward right there. So, we know this is a powerful passage. If we just had this passage here and really understood it, it's all we would need. Because it says, we know that all things are from Him and to Him. Can we rest in that? That all things that come to us are from Him for our reward? And not judge it? Not try to pray to a God somewhere to get rid of it? Huh? That's what Kay was saying Paul experienced. He just wanted rid of his thorn. He didn't want to learn from it, apparently. But I guess he had some more lessons to learn because the father said, no, you're going to keep it. I'm not saying it stayed in him. I mean, I hope he heard Kay speaking. You know, and he knew what to do, right? But when things come into your lives and you realize they're there for to teach you, no matter what it is, it doesn't matter if you get sick. Don't judge yourself for that stuff. I had a guy I knew intimately. I just loved the guy and was teaching. And this stuff comes out of the infinite way. I don't want to judge any particular person, but they'll sit around and do a seance and meditate, and you're not supposed to be sick anymore. But listen, everything's there to teach you. No matter what comes to you, everything's there to teach you. And when it's done with you, maybe it'll go. It might, that's okay, but we can't make a religion out of it. Yeah. Right? We can't make a damn religion out of it because that's what we've done. We've got to leave that whole world so that we're not afraid of whatever comes to us. Doesn't matter what comes to me, I want to learn from it. And I think Jesus showed that when he held his arm out and it was covered with leprosy, and then he put it back in and it was gone. This didn't change me. Whatever happened to me didn't change me. And when Joan of Arc was going up, just like they were talking about Paul and Silas in the prison, they didn't see those prison walls. She didn't see herself going anywhere, walking up on that thing to be burnt. She knew they couldn't touch her. Who she really was could not be touched in any way. Because that's who we are. We're spirit slowed down to visibility, right? That's who we are. That cannot be touched. And it doesn't matter what happens. We come in and embrace it. Just like the Israelites, all through the Old Testament, the Father was teaching them to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. To stand when they went out. Things were overwhelming to them. And he just said, stand and see my salvation. And that's what we're sharing with you today, is just when something comes to you, just stand and wait for that still small voice. It will come every time, I promise you, if you wait. And you might have to wait for a week, but you need to wait. This is how I'm learning to run my business now, with the wisdom of the Lord and the Father. So when, and believe me, we've had our share of difficulties at my business. It's come, there's ponies attached to huge wagons that have been circling my building. And I can tell you, I'm not afraid. I'm just not afraid of it anymore. And I'm waiting to see how it unfolds. And as things come to me for that day, I respond to those in wisdom and faith, and I'm really loving it. I really, and I'm enjoying it now. And I've always enjoyed it, but there's been a little bit there. There's been 10, 15% I haven't enjoyed so much, you know. And that's getting smaller and smaller. So that Monday is the same as Sunday for me. Monday's the same as Friday for me. Everybody says, I can't wait for Friday. Well, I can't wait for Monday now so I can learn more. So we've sort of got to run for the flames, I guess, don't we? If we want to take a shortcut. We know that all things are from Him and to Him. But it's not the knowledge of all things that saves us. It's knowing that He is us in our form. It's not arrogance. It's not boasting. It's not saying, I've always known this. I mean, many times I'll share a message it's very new to me. I've got to confess to you, there are so many things she shared I've never heard before. And I'm not sure Kay has heard some of it before. But obviously, it's new every morning, isn't it? It's new stuff. And I bring some stuff in that I always bring some stuff from the last lesson because I like them to build. You know, but there's a lot of what I share that's brand new to me, guys. It's something I'm just learning. That's why sometimes I stumble a little bit trying to share it with you, because I'm just now hearing it. So this new truth comes, just opened up to us. So that's the sense of humility, as I tell you. I'm learning with you. There's no difference between us. I'm learning and sharing what's transpiring in my life, how I see the Father working himself out in me, through me, out into a world then that I no longer judge. And that's what feels so good. It just feels so wonderful to look out and realize that everything's wonderful, everything's beautiful. I saw it on my porch last week when I looked down, and I saw these beautiful cardinals come, and the blue jays come, and the chickadees that were yellow, and red chickadees, and black chickadees, and woodpeckers. And then here comes the sparrow. I go, oh, sparrow. And he said, you know, the sparrow is the most beautiful. And he showed me that I was being prejudiced towards the sparrow.
Wow.
That's what he showed me. But without the contrast, right? And I'm not talking about opposites here. I'm just talking about the beauty of the whole earth. Without the contrast of all of us, we really wouldn't know our oneness. If we all looked the same and acted the same, it'd really be boring.
Yeah. Really?
You know? Yeah, and we wouldn't know ourselves, would we? That's why the Father has chosen to express himself in all these forms. And I love it.
Yeah.
I just really love it. And there's thousands, millions of them. Yeah. So, as we move up into fatherhood level, your God begins to disappear. Has to. We no longer have a God, folks. The Father is who you are. The Father. Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. And it's like Kate said, you can't tell anybody. Because everybody, if you say you're God, everybody's going to call you an arrogant SOB.
Yes.
And there's really no God anyway. The Father, it says God is love. That's, he's told us his name. His name's love. And Jesus always referred to him as my Father. A personal reference to who he was. My Father within me doeth the work, as we learn, as Kay shared, to submit and yield to that Father within us. The outside and the inside become one then. We no longer see two. We're not double-minded anymore. The pure see all things as pure. But see, our God has to disappear. Our concepts of God all have to disappear. They have to be crucified along with that person you think you are. It all has to be crucified. And Dean wrote something that said the same thing. It was beautiful. He said, if you have a God, your intellect has deceived you and is in dire need to be saved. So he said, fear not, little children, come up to me, all ye that are heavy. Bring your burdens to me. Fear not, little children, I am in you. Do not be afraid. I am who you are. And there's no other gods before you, including yourself, including your picture of yourself, because that was the biggest god. Adam said, I will be like the Most High. Same thing Lucifer said, isn't it? That was Adam saying that. I will be like unto the Most High, and begin to control and become a god in the world. And I can't wait for Alan to share that with us, because he's going to share how he's seeing that in the Old Testament. How man plays the role of God. And what does he do to his neighbor? He certainly isn't loving him, is he? So, judge not by appearances anymore. Look unto me within yourself, all ye that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. When you find me, and only me within yourself, you will begin to enter into that rest that passes all understanding. There's no room for any other God inside you. You shall have no other gods before you. There's no room. The kingdom of health begins to disappear in his God. The kingdom of wealth begins to disappear in his God. We got a lot of gods now, okay? There's a lot of gods because you have one for each situation, because you pray to that God for this situation, this God for that situation. That's all got to go away. We begin to lose this old concept of life, putting off the former conversations that we had when we first began to seek a God or to know a God aright. But we must know when we say, be still and know God, at a fatherhood level, it's really be still and know yourself. Listen to yourself. Yield to yourself. Yield to that spirit within you that's whole, it's complete, it's in need of nothing. And as soon as you think you need something, you leave it. That quick. And you start praying to a God outside yourself. At least you want to. Say, what the hell's wrong? You know, that's who you're talking to. Something outside yourself. There's no life there, guys. We talk of health and sickness and miracles and signs. And I'm glad, Kay, you touched on this morning, because I didn't know if I wanted to share this, but since you started it, I'm going to finish it for you. But you talked about this. We talk of health, sickness, miracles, and signs, but we've got to remember that the setting in Jesus' ministry, he called that whole generation an adulterous generation. Seeking a sign outside themselves. Still in unbelief of who they were. That's why we're at such a great time as today. Jesus said you'll do greater things because we're coming into ourselves. Just beginning to come out of being under a ministry of the fear of death. We've got to quit talking about death like it's a natural thing. It's not. It's not. Hello? That's why health has got to go away. The only reason you're concerned about your health is because you think you're going to die. And you're never going to die. And don't talk to me about responsibility, because I won't talk to you about it. Okay? That's just childish talk. You are never going to die. You're not going anywhere. Everything you need is within you, and wherever you go is where you're at, and it's omnipresent everywhere. It's on every planet right now and every star. You're already there. And I think we're going to see that someday. It could be wonderful. Why can't we see it now? You're omnipresent love everywhere. You can't go somewhere you're not, and you take it with you, and we just forget to remember who we are. We lose our minds. We begin to cut ourselves with stones. Cry out to a God. It's not fun. I don't like it. I do it. I'm doing a lot less. Yeah. Hallelujah. Doing it less than I used to. So we come out of this bondage, this fear, which is the law. That's what they were still under the law in the New Testament, guys. It was still transitional, believe me. He was talking to people that were under the law. That's why it was so difficult for them. They were still entrapped in all that stuff. They were coming out, you know, one at a time. A few of them were coming out, right? It wasn't until Pentecost that any of them heard any truth. When we're still in that state in the law, what are we seeing? We're seeing unrighteousness. Really, unrighteousness is just unbelief in our judgment of what we don't believe in. That's what unrighteousness is. It's just unbelief in our judgment. That's what it is. Can I see all the people righteous? Or am I going to be prejudiced? Well, you're in, and you're not in, and you're predestined to hell, and you're going to get this, and you're going to be annihilated, and I used to believe all that stuff. I was in Calvinism big time, hyper-Calvinism. And there's a whole state that's full of that over here west of us, okay? Reformed theology. I know it backwards and forwards because I was into it. And thank God he taught me there was no hell anymore, because man, that's tough when you believe in double predestination. So at least he's not frying them like a piece of bacon, and then it crumbles up, and then you put some more bacon on them, you know, fry them some more, you know. Jeez, I'm telling you, man, what did we believe? Holy cow. Whew. Awful stuff, isn't it? Yeah. What'd you say? Holy what? Holy pig. Yeah, that's what. That's more accurate, Candy. Thank you. That's what unrighteousness is. It's just not seeing your neighbor righteous. That's that simple. It's unbelief for your neighbor. You can't be righteous if he ain't. No way. We can't have forked tongue, no partiality. The wisdom from above is first pure. It's without hypocrisy. It's without prejudice. It's without partiality. Every man's your neighbor. Jesus didn't say love your neighbor as yourself, but it's got to be Irish. I mean, it's not national. I mean, it's not just the Irish. I mean, the Jews just think it's just the Jews. I mean, you can't go down this. We were in California, Diane and I were in this Jewish community. We didn't know we were. We didn't even know it. We went and stayed at this Marriott Hotel, and there were just Jews everywhere. And on the Sabbath, we had some skin showing, and we walked down the streets, and not one of them would look at us. These are Orthodox Jew now, okay? And I'm not judging them. I'm just telling you what this. We've all been growing out of Hebrewism, by the way. Right? The Bible's a Hebrew book. It's a history book. It's a Hebrew book. Right? We're learning a lot out of it. We've got to peer over the shoulders of them, right? There's a lot of wonderful truth in there. But we've just taken a lot of it the wrong way. So back in Jesus' time, they were just beginning to come out of the law. And so when you're reading even the New Testament, you've got to be careful that you don't understand the context of the passages. Who's he talking to? Who were they? Right? You've got to be a student of it so you understand the setting. There was no one standing at the cross when Jesus died. Not one person. They were all gone, including Peter. Why? Because they didn't know him. Peter ran for his life. He didn't have one to run from, but he did anyway. Right? He didn't know, did he? He didn't know. He knew, he said, Jesus, you have the words of life, but it wasn't founded and grounded in him strong enough. And same thing with Abraham. I'm sure he said, when God told him, I'm your reward, he said, well, that's nice, but what do you give me? And he and his wife were traveling down in town. He lied like a friggin' canary because he wanted to save his skin. Because back in those days, if your wife was beautiful, they killed you so you could have your wife. That's why he lied. So moving by faith now, this absolute faith, there's no more fear of what any man can say to you. You know, I want to tell you something that's really, really important. No one can say anything to you that judges you. Not one word. Not one word. The only way that you can be judged or feel judged to any degree is it has to come from within you. It's your perception of what anyone's saying to you. That's right. No judgment can come from anyone. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never harm me. Nobody can say anything to you that judges you because you know who you are. And you know that's your neighbor talking to you, and all you can do is love him. And all you got to do is shut up. He can't hurt you. You've got to be grounded and settled in who you are. And that's what you've got to yield to, right? And so when somebody comes going crazy, we can just sit there and listen and just wait to love them. They don't know who they are. And that's okay. It's all right. We know they're going to know. All from the least to the greatest are going to know me. And that's where I have to rest in faith. So I no longer judge the world. They all will know me, from the least to the greatest. All know me. So, he said, greater things will you do. I'm excited about that. Aren't you? Greater things will you do. Wow, what is it? I just can't wait. But it's not something that we're going to do. It's something we're going to realize. Yeah. Right? That's what we got to be. We got to be careful. We don't get tricked. Yeah. Right? Because we'll go back to judging the world again, won't we? This is all about realization and coming into consciousness. It's not about going out trying to work with something and control it, manipulate it, and try to get it to behave the way we want. It's not about any of that. It's about knowing who we are. And so now, we'll no longer leave. Whoops, said it the wrong way. We will leave our movie screen of life that's all illusionary. This thing we're painting of how we want our world to be is all going to be cleared. We're not going to have the health channel anymore. We're not going to watch Rich and Famous anymore. We're not going to watch Condemned and Uncondemned anymore, or Law and Order. We're not going to watch any of those stuff. You know, what's it good? What good's it do you? Just mindless entertainment. Is it going to do you any good? Mindless. And until you leave that screen, until you leave your screen and wipe it clean, okay, there's always going to be a you and a God. Until you leave your movie screen, there's going to be a you and a God, and you're going to be troubled. You're going to feel separation. You're not going to know who you are. So, and it's all an illusion, guys. It's not reality, because reality has to be changeless. Can never change. What is that never changes? That eternal flowing love that's a river flowing out from us can never be harmed by anyone. It can't be judged by anyone. It can't die. It can't go anywhere. It's eternal. So we're not looking for health or wealth anymore. Because if you're looking for health, then you're afraid of sickness. And death. And that's the big one, really. That's the big one. If we're not afraid of death, if we realize we can't go anywhere, if we realize we can't die, then we won't be afraid of those things that come to us, because whatever it is, it's our teacher that we need to yield to. Whatever it is, just yield to it. Realize it's there for you, right? If you're looking for more money, you'll never find your treasure. Do you have enough? Yes. I'll tell you, this is a big one I've been learning, right? It's a real big one I've been learning. This has been one I'm learning. Because I've trusted it for myself. I have no problem. I've been through loss many times. I've had 7 businesses now. What's that tell you? They didn't all make it. And that's okay. But the difference between this one and the others is I have 60 employees now. And it's created more of a sense of love and compassion that I don't want to see them lose their jobs. But I had to lay that down too. I did. Now normally in a business our size, we bring in about $20 million a year in sales, right? And it's a business I never started. I'm just telling you right now. I know that don't make any sense to you. You'd have to read about it, but I was in ministry work, and I did not want to go into building again, believe me, because that's a lot of work to build. I was pinning houses to rocks up in the mountains, and it was beautiful. It was done, but it was hell building them. I'm just telling you. Get 2 foot of snow a night, and freeze come through. I pulled out a foam cord once, and the foam cord broke. It was so cold. It just snapped in two. I'm up there trying to build houses. But I've had all these businesses, but now I have these people. And I've got to realize I've got to give it all up so that I'm not afraid of it anymore, so it can come back to me the right way. So I'm not trying to control it anymore, see? And I'm yielding. So I'm doing what she's saying. That's why I love this. She's telling me what I'm doing, and now I can, maybe it'll happen quicker for me. You know what I'm saying? Okay, yield, boy. Down. Shut up, heavens. That's the little devil. His name's Nevins, you know. Talked to him all the time. Shut up, Nevins. You are the Father of light. You're nothing else. It's pure. It's holy. And I wrote on Facebook the other day, the color you like the least is what makes the color you like the most, most beautiful. And you realize all the colors are in the rainbow, every color. There's thousands of shades. And they're all necessary to what? Form the light. That's why there's no partiality in love. There's no prejudice in love. There's no hypocrisy in love. Is that beautiful? What forms the light is that I need all of you. I love all of you. I need all of you because you are me. And without you, I'm not complete. And that's how I can lay down my life for you, is to realize that whatever form you come at to me is for me. It's not against me. And so I stand and I wait. Hopefully I'll shut up this time and listen so that wisdom then can come out and we can share that together. So, as Kay was saying, we can't tell anybody we're the Father because they'll think we're saying we're God. And we're not. We're going to tell them there is no God. Well, that's going to make it worse. Woo! Well, that's what you're opening up. That's you getting into that conversation. You really cannot tell anyone you're the Father of light because it doesn't matter. Right? If you find yourself having to prove it, you're going to lose it. Yeah. If you got to prove it, you're going to lose it. You can't argue with somebody about who you are because you're never going to win. That's why you don't need to. It's a hidden secret. Because no one can understand your journey. How long do they got? I got 58 years of content. You'll be bored in one day. You couldn't sit with me for 58 years and let me tell you everything. You couldn't handle it. All are righteous, not one is lost. And I want to close with, this is sort of a poem. It's written sort of like a poem, but it doesn't sound like a poem. But Bruce wrote something on Facebook that was just beautiful, talking about why we're here and what's transpired with each one of us. And it's all about love, and it's just so beautiful. I wanted to close and share that with you. It said, love crucified itself in you, its own image, and gave its image its own life, so that its image could see what it was like to be the God of judgment of good and evil. And then to realize that this was hell. And to realize that love is the only God. And that the two have always been forever one. That's your life story. That's every man's story. We've had, for us to become conscious with the Father, we've had to experience a life outside of the Father so that we could really be conscious of Him in our uniqueness. That's the only place it's safe to be unique. I mean, it's hard to believe that I'm the Father and yet I see all these different expressions. And I know myself. Oh, really? I mean, if I'm the Father, am I going to just disappear into thin air? You know, poof. But here I am talking to you. It's been wonderful. Thank you. We'll see everybody this afternoon at 2:00. Goodbye.